Welcome to day 244 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I am happy to have you back with me today as we continue our journey through the Word of God. We have been reading through the book of Ezekiel, and today's reading comes from chapters 18 through 20. This week, we are utilizing the New American Standard Bible translation. Today we are going to hear about how God deals justly with individuals and that he does not hold people responsible for other people's sins. And in fact, that God will hold everyone accountable individually for their own conduct and not for the conduct or behavior of someone else. So beginning with Ezekiel chapter 18, we are starting at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, declares the Lord God, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins will die. But if a man is righteous and practices justice and righteousness and does not eat at the mountain shrines or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel or defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman during her menstrual period, if a man does not oppress anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with clothing, if he does not lend money on interest or take increase, if he keeps his hand from iniquity and executes true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully, he is righteous and will surely live, declares the Lord God. Then he may have a violent son who sheds blood and who does any of these things to his brother, though he himself did not do any of these things. That is, he even eats at the mountain shrines and defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore a pledge, but lifts up his eyes to the idols and commits abomination. He lends money on interest and takes increase. Will he live? He will not live. He has committed all these abominations. He will surely be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. Now, behold, he has a son who has observed all his father's sins, which he committed, and observing does not do likewise. He does not eat at the mountain shrines, or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, or defile his neighbor's wife, or oppress anyone, or retain a pledge, or commit robbery. But he gives his bread to the hungry and covers the naked with clothing. He keeps his hand from the poor, does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinances and walks in my statutes. He will not die for his father's iniquity. He will surely live. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among his people, behold, he will die for his iniquity. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and has observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. But if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions, which he has committed, will not be remembered against him. Because of his righteousness, which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds, which he has done, will not be remembered for his treachery, which he has committed, and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions, which he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Chapter 19. As for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, and say, what was your mother? A lioness among lions. She lay down among young lions. She reared her cubs. When she brought up one of her cubs, he became a lion, and he learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. Then nations heard about him. He was captured in their pit, and they brought him with hooks to the land of Egypt. When she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion, and he walked among the lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. He destroyed their fortified towers and laid waste their cities. And the land and its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. Then nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him. He was captured in their pit. They put him in a cage with hooks and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets, so that his voice would be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. And it had strong branches fit for scepters of rulers, and its height was raised above the clouds, so that it was seen in its height with the mass of its branches, but it was plucked up in fury. It was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up its fruit. Its strong branch was torn off so that it withered. The fire consumed it, and now it is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty land. And fire has gone out from its branch. it has consumed its shoots and fruit, so that there is not in it a strong branch, a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and has become a lamentation. Chapter 20. Now in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth of the month, certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Do you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man? Make them know the abominations of their fathers, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, On the day when I chose Israel, and swore to the descendants of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I swore to them to bring them out from the land of Egypt into a land that I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. I said to them, Cast away, each of you, the detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and were not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them, to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So I took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness, to annihilate them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, before whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances. And as for my statutes, they did not walk in them. They even profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart continually went after their idols. Yet my eyes spared them rather than destroying them, and I did not cause their annihilation in the wilderness. I said to their children in the wilderness, Do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinances, or defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and observe them. Sanctify my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, nor were they careful to observe my ordinances, by which, if a man observes them, he will live. They profaned my Sabbaths. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withdrew my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them among the lands, because they had not observed my ordinances, but had rejected my statutes and had profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were on the idols of their fathers. I also gave them statutes that were not good, and ordinances by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their gifts, in that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, so that I might make them desolate, in order that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me by acting treacherously against me. When I had brought them into the land which I swore to give them, then they saw every high hill and every leafy tree, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their soothing aroma, and there they poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is the high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, will you defile yourselves after the manner of your fathers and play the harlot after their detestable things? When you offer your gifts, when you cause your sons to pass through the fire, you are defiling yourselves with all your idols to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. What comes into your mind will not come about when you say, we will be like the nations, like the tribes of the lands, serving wood and stone. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I will bring you out from among the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, and with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go, serve everyone his idols, but later you will surely listen to me. And my holy name you will profane no longer with your gifts and with your idols. For on my holy mountain, on the high mountain of Israel, declares the Lord, there the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your holy things. As a soothing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered. And I will prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations, and you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. There you will remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourselves, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for all the evil things that you have done. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways or according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Teman, and speak out against the south, and prophesy against the forest land of the Negev, and say to the forest of the Negev, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am about to kindle a fire in you, and it will consume every green tree in you, as well as every dry tree. The blazing flame will not be quenched, and the whole surface from south to north will be burned by it. All flesh will see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, they are saying of me, Is he not just speaking parables? This is the end of today's scripture reading. When we opened today's reading in chapter 18 of Ezekiel, we were presented with a proverb that was often spoken in the land of Israel in the time of Ezekiel the prophet. And it was this proverb, and the Lord said, What do you mean by using this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, and here's the proverb, The fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge. And the Lord went on to tell Ezekiel, As I live, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. And the Lord went on to explain that every person belongs to the Lord. All souls are mine, he said. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. And it's the soul of the one who sins that will pay for his sins. And the Lord went on in a very extensive way to explain that he would hold responsible each individual person for their own conduct and behavior and their sins. That God doesn't punish children for the sins of their father, nor does he punish a parent for the sins of their child, but instead that every person stands alone before the Lord. Now we know that God himself sent his only son Jesus to come to the earth to restore relationship with sinful man, all of us, so that we could come back into relationship with our Heavenly Father and not be punished for the sins we committed if we place our trust in Christ's work on the cross that literally took our place, taking our death for our sins and dying that death for us so that we don't have to die, so that we don't have to receive the punishment that we're due for our sins, because every single person on the planet has sinned, whether it is outwardly or in their heart. Every single person has sinned. The Lord said, Jesus himself said, that we commit murder in our heart without doing it outwardly. When you hate someone, you're committing murder in your heart, according to the word of God. So with that standard, we know that every person on the earth has sinned and is worthy of death. But God, in his mercy, sent his only son so that he would pay the price for our sins if we put our trust in him. Here in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord is making it very clear. He's not going to punish a child for the sin of his father, nor is he going to punish a father for the sin of his son. He's going to hold responsible each person individually. And so therefore, we all have to stand before the Lord. And if you stand before the Lord with Christ, then God sees you through Christ, and you are innocent because of Jesus, not because of your own good works or anything that you have done. So we have this revelation here in Ezekiel about God's character, that he does not punish people for other people's sins. He holds each person individually responsible. But in this chapter of 18 of Ezekiel, we are also given a very profound revelation about God's heart. And it is the 23rd verse that I want to bring to your attention that reveals an aspect of God's character that I believe many people don't recognize or understand. It says this in Ezekiel 18:23, and God is the one who's the speaker in this verse, and he's talking to the prophet, and by that, therefore, speaking to the entire people of Israel. God says, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that they should turn from his ways and live?" Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. God says this, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the Sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." This verse is very, very important for all of us to understand part of the character of God. First of all, it reveals to us God's amazing, merciful heart. In other words, God doesn't just see a wicked person who has committed great wickedness and say, "You're going to burn, and when you die, it's over, and I'm never going to forgive you for what you've done." He doesn't have that heart. God says, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." This shows us that God has an incalculable capacity for mercy for people who have committed even the most wicked sin that can be conceived in the human heart. God is capable and desiring to express his mercy and forgiveness to any person on the earth who is willing to receive his mercy and pursue him. Yet, many Christians I have heard or seen what they have written that expresses a much different heart than God's heart. At different points in history, even over the last 30 years, when some very notoriously wicked people have been either caught in the act, arrested, or possibly killed, or they died, or they were put to death by capital punishment, or whatever the particular circumstances were that led to their death, I have observed Christians rejoicing when some wicked person died, and their explanation for their rejoicing was, good, they are going to get what they deserve. They're going to go to hell. They're going to receive the punishment they deserve. Now, that expression, even though I understand when people are repulsed and revolted at wicked things that people have done, whether they are murder, kidnapping, or other wicked, wicked things that have been perpetrated against other people or children or women, it is right that we should be revolted at such wickedness that's happening in the earth. God has the same response to wickedness. He hates it. He hates to see people commit it, and he hates to see people have it perpetrated against them. So, yes, we should hate sin and wickedness. But God doesn't even have it in his heart to hate the wicked person who commits the wicked sin. He says, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." That is the heart of God as revealed here in the book of Ezekiel. God wants us to have his heart. So when I see Christians rejoicing over the death of some notorious sinner, a person who's maybe killed many people, my heart is very grieved because I realize that they do not have a revelation of the capacity of God for mercy, love, and his desire to see even the most wicked person turn and receive his forgiveness and be restored in relationship to God. When Osama bin Laden, a very notorious man who, as far as the evidence shows, appears to have been one of the masterminds or plotters of some of the most wicked attacks against humanity, when he died and it was published that he had been captured and then and killed by a military operation, the amazing outpouring of rejoicing from Christians, even as displayed on comments posted on Facebook and through other media, just grieved my heart so deeply. Because I know that God's heart wasn't that even Osama bin Laden perish. You know, here in Ezekiel, we're told it's not, God doesn't rejoice at the death of the wicked, because he knows that they're going to go to hell and be separated forever from him, and that at that point of death, there's no turning back. You know, in the New Testament, 2 Peter 3:9 gives us essentially the New Testament equivalent of that verse in Ezekiel 18:23. God says in Ezekiel, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." And yet, in 2 Peter 3:9, here it is. It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the equivalent passage in the New Testament expressing the character of God, that his love is so deep, his mercy is so profound, his willingness to forgive is so expansive, that even the most wicked sinner has the chance, has the opportunity, has the invitation to turn to the Lord, repent. Repent means turn and go in a different direction, to change the mind, to become a person who comes into agreement with God and his ways. Even the most wicked sinner has that option or that opportunity until the day of his death. At that point, there's no more opportunity. So God waits even to the end and to the last breath of every person to see if they will turn to him. He's ready, he's willing to forgive and to extend his love and grace and mercy to them. Yet many Christians don't want to see God do that, don't want to see God show his love and mercy to a wicked person. They want justice, they want punishment. If the same level of lack of mercy was shown to them, they would be punished and in hell with everyone else. But God hasn't done that to that person. We need to line our hearts up, our minds up, our thoughts up with the Lord. God himself rebuked Israel by saying, "The house of Israel says the way of the Lord is not right." Many people in our generation think the same thing. It's not right that God should be willing to excuse someone, forgive someone, extend mercy and forgiveness to someone who's been that wicked. And the Lord's answer is, are my ways not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? That's the truth. We need to have God's thoughts be our thoughts, God's ways be our ways. We can't have an opinion that doesn't agree with God, or we have set up an idol in our heart that our opinion is greater than God's, and we bow down to the idol of our own opinion rather than submitting and bowing down to the Lord's opinion, thoughts, and his ways. God wants us to be imitators of him. And I want to encourage you today, when you see a wicked person, don't pray that they'll be punished and thrown into hell. Pray, God, have mercy on them. Bring someone into their life that can share the love and grace that you have toward them and are willing to give to them. Lord, turn them to yourself. Give them a revelation of yourself. Pray that way for the most wicked sinner, for the most debased criminal that you read about in the newspaper, for the person on death row, for the serial killer and others like him. Pray that God will make a way that they can hear and understand the message of the gospel, the good news, that God's not willing that any should perish, that he doesn't have a delight in the death of the wicked, that he has a heart that is so expansive, so magnificent, so beyond our natural mind's comprehension, that he can forgive even the worst sinner on their deathbed, because he's a God of such grace and glory and mercy and love. And he wants us, his children, to think like God thinks, to walk in his ways, to have his heart. God bless you and give you a victorious week.